Buddies Norm and Mike. It is January 20th, 2023. The Maple Leafs coming off a 4-1 win over the Jets at Scotiabank Arena. 4-1 for the Maple Leafs. Auston Matthews, 2 goals. He is 24 on the season now. Mitch Marner picking up a goal. Willie with a help out. You've got Morgan Rielly appearing to come out of his struggles post-injury. But the thing is, Mike, if we break it down, and we do that on this podcast all the time, the Jets really outplayed the Maple Leafs last night. So here we are, more cause for concern, even though the Maple brothers are having another stellar season statistically.
Good morning, Norm. I compare yesterday, the game against the Jets, to the Rumble in the Jungle fight between Ali and Foreman, because the first period was essentially a rope-a-dope. It was Samsonov saving their ass. He made, I think, 16 saves in incredible fashion and kept that game scoreless. And I'm sure Sheldon Keefe said something about that in the locker room, because they come out, win the faceoff, and Auston Matthews scores 8 seconds into the second period. And then it was on from there. What I was a little surprised at, because the animosity between these two teams has been thick since the Northern Division a couple years ago, and the Sandin, Blake Wheeler, and then Sandin and Pionk, and Jason Spezza running Pionk, all that stuff. None of that stuff was really there yesterday. Maybe it was the fact that they don't have the same head coach anymore. They had Paul Maurice during that time, and now they have Rick Bowness, and they seem to be concerned more with what they're doing than what the team is doing. But I was really impressed with Winnipeg, and Hellebuck played well. Two Matthews goals and the Marner shorthanded goal and then the empty netter. I mean, the Leafs effectively navigated through a game where they weren't playing well early on, or they were being dominated by a team that was very, very energized. And Samsonov now has saved their bacon in 2 games in a row after coming in relief of Murray on Tuesday against Florida.
This is the convo, Norm, along with Mike. The Jets are nothing to shake a stick at. 59 points in the West. A team that could cause some real problems when the playoffs roll around. So instead of just chalking this up to the Leafs outshining any old opponent coming through, warts and all, this was a damn tough test. And while it may not have been the most complete game top to bottom from the guys up front, you're going to need a goaltending performance like the one Samsonov gave the world yesterday to overcome these teams that are kind of on that same level. So by hook or by crook, Mike, we can examine the things that we didn't like, and then highlight the things that we think we need to see more consistently. But every so often, you're going to need a goaltender to come through, especially against a team that's around, in that same zone of prowess. And they got it last night. So they take the 2, impressive overall, move on.
Well, I mean, there seems to be a general theme that's going on since the Christmas break. Going into the game last night, the Leafs were 6-4-1, which is above 500, but not at the level that they were playing at from, after the West Coast trip to before the Christmas break. They probably had the best record in the league, or second best record in the league next to Boston. In the 11 games before last night, they were 6-4-1, and they had given up 4 or more goals in 7 of those 11 games. That is unheard of based on what they did before that. So they're sort of following the same pattern that they did last year, where they played great for 2 months and then maybe took the foot off the pedal, or, decided they wanted to play more open, more offensive hockey. I mean, we know that they're capable of playing a shutdown game, but I always say that the good teams don't turn that off. And, the Leafs have sort of turned that off. And I know a lot of people have been pointing the finger at Matt Murray in terms of his play dropping. But I think overall it's the team defense that has sort of let up. And I think that's a little bit concerning. And right now, I think
why has it let up, Mike? Is it Morgan coming back into the mix?
Yeah, no.
Sheldon Keefe wouldn't say boys, I'm going to loosen the shackles a little bit. Just run and gun with these dudes.
No, I think especially in December when they, you know, when after the Riley injury, after, you know, Sandin was, well, not before Sandin was hurt, but after Riley was hurt and they're playing Mac Hollowell on defense and they're playing and Jordy Ben was hurt, you know, it was more of a five player buy-in defensively, you know, centers being below the goal line, helping out the defense, you know, get the puck out of the zone. Now you have most of the defensemen back. Now you have Riley back. Brody's still on the IR, but you have Riley back. And I think the feeling is, okay, the defense now are capable of getting the puck to the forwards in motion and putting the offensive attack going the other way. And when it gets to the playoffs, those centers like Tavares and Matthews would be helping out, get the puck out of the zone. But I don't think that that's a style that they want to have to play 82 games. These guys want to score. And I get that, but they also have to take care of their own zone and take care of the puck. And I mean, especially the game against, well, you know, the games against Detroit, the game against Boston was an abomination in terms of, you know, the giveaways that, you know, Tavares late in regulation, the Riley giveaway, the Timmons giveaway, you know, you gave away the game based on those plays.
The Maple Leafs are quite accommodating when it comes to offering the puck up to the opposition. That has been, I wouldn't say it's been a hallmark of this group and this era, but it's a consistent thing to, so here, let me ask you this. So we'll get into some OG and Convert correspondence here, Mike, because we are doing a Friday show. There's no Sunday show. I'm away and Mike will be at play. So how do the Leafs get out of this giveaway mentality? Like, how do they stop giving away the puck so much? And who would you, you know, who would you, what kind of game would you want to see them emulate in order to do that?
Well, I mean, okay, the way this team is constructed, they have to be an up-tempo, speedy offensive team.
And that lends to some dicey action that ends up with the puck going back the other way when you can't control it. So that is something that's just part of the game then.
Right. Now they are capable, and we've seen them being capable in November and December of playing shutdown hockey, but they don't do it by like wearing on the other team or, you know, creating turnovers in terms of, you know, hitting play. They rely on puck pursuit, getting the puck off of the other player's stick and going the other way. And that's a way of doing it, but it's a way that's not exactly, I mean, there are good teams that do that, but they also provide that level of physicality. And we, as we know, and as I think I've stressed for a long time, there is little or no physicality on this team in terms of pushback. And I think it being able to separate players from the puck. So they have to do it in other ways.
Mike, let me just throw this at you. Brad Tindall, Convert for sure. We have to make him an honorary OG from Community. youtube.com/theleafsconvo/community. What are the chances Dubas adds three unsavory characters such as Delorier, Janet, Edmondson, and finally take Tampa into the alley and beat them? Or will he insist on catching Lord Stanley with a butterfly net? So this is a derivative of what you're talking about here, Mike.
Yeah, I mean, if it were me, and I'm not the general manager, but if it were me, I see the deficit between this team and other teams that I consider Stanley Cup contenders is that physicality, is that size, is that sandpaper. And it can't be as it is right now. It cannot be just on the fourth line with a guy like Wayne Simmonds playing 5 minutes. You can't, you look at Tampa, you look at Boston, you look at Dallas, who I think is a serious contender in the West. You look at Winnipeg, who the Leafs played last night, and there is that sandpaper and that physicality throughout throughout their forward lineup.
So in other words, you're saying go get Fraser McLaren and Colton Orr and Dave Schultz and Tiger Williams and knuckle drag the entire game, beat everybody's face in, and send everybody into the infirmary ward on stretchers. That's what you're saying, Mike.
Yes, that's 2013 thinking. If we were doing the podcast on real audio player in 2013, but no, what I'm saying is, you
know, Michael, never forget.
Yes. Oh no, I never forget anything. But no, this team needs, and I'm okay. I'm plucking these names out of, you know, out of the air. Not saying that the Leafs are going to go after these guys.
It's a thumbnail, buddy. Watch yourself.
Right. Okay. So I'm gonna radio myself as some of the guys say. Tom Wilson, Marcus Foligno, Lawson Kraus, like those types of players. You're not, you know. Matt Boldy with Minnesota just got signed to a big contract. The Leafs need to find someone, if it's not a player of that experience and that ability, they need to find somebody who plays on either a complimentary role as a left winger on the top in the top six, right. You know, maybe Tyler Bertuzzi with Detroit as a rental, or somebody on the third line that can generate some sort of energy, because sometimes I think the Leafs, you know, they're used to sort of the being passive. They're used to like taking the abuse, counterattacking, and their response.
I just don't think
that can be successful. I don't think you could. Yeah. Ivan Barbashev, I wrote a column. Ivan Barbashev, who is a UFA at the end of the year with St. Louis. Obviously, the Ryan O'Reilly talk is out there, and you know he'll be back probably in about 3 weeks. Another was Oscar Sundquist with Detroit. You know, another guy who's won a Stanley Cup, physical, up the middle.
He's off his nails.
Yeah. No, Sundquist is.
No, it's just.
Yeah.
It's ironic.
Yeah, and Barbashev, you know, Barbashev was a hitting machine for St. Louis during the 2019 playoffs. Right. So, when Leo Komarov was with the Leafs were not an overly tough team, but Leo Komarov generated energy.
Right.
The only player right now on this team that generates energy is Michael Bunting. And I'm sorry, he can't. Last night, there was a shot that hit Timothy Liljegren, and I think it was Mark Scheifele was questioning that whether Liljegren was actually hurt. I mean, I think he was spitting out teeth, and the TSN
cameras was this last night too. For what it's worth, right?
Right,
a good game.
And the TSN cameras focused on Bunting, and Bunting is losing his mind on the bench because. I'm drawing from that he was questioning Scheifele, questioning his player about actually being hurt when he was actually hurt. And I'm like, okay, there is, you know, you can have all, I mean, I love the talent on this team, but you also, to get through a playoff series, you need fire. You need emotion. And if you don't have that, I don't know if you can win.
So Mike, you brought it up. On the last show, and you can see it, guys, on the podcast channel, youtube.com/LeafsCombo. Check out our videos. You can also just type in the Leafs Combo on your browser and then just listen to us without seeing our ugly faces on the podcast platform of your choice. You said that Tampa and Boston play like their hair is on fire. Now, neither of us have much hair left, so it would be our scalps on fire if we were on the team. But that's the way I'd like to see the Maple Leafs play. Unfortunately, unless they can supplant three or four guys and bring in some dudes with pedigree and punch to support the Bunting, support the team as a whole, and really just rev this team up, it's things aren't going to change. And that's, for me, the big issue is the Leafs just aren't they're not assertive enough, right? I mean, you can be dominant in stretches, but you need to take the play to your opponents as if you know you're going to win. It's none of this, well, we're just going to kind of react. We're going to wait it out, fuck up our opportunity to make things happen, and then hope we get some puck luck when it's next goal wins. That is just not how a team... that has aspirations, true aspirations, and even basic capability of winning a Stanley Cup, gets it done. You really have to set the fucking tone from the very beginning. And this team is just beyond outscoring most of the league. This team is still in a position where it is inferior to four or five other teams with the pedigree of winning and who are built with, a more enriched mosaic of talent and just the layered properly to win a Stanley Cup. The Leafs have all the offensive talent in the world, nice goaltending, some pretty deep defensive help. But where's the jam? You know, where's that extra volume? Where's that extra fucking gear when it matters the most? It's just not there. And until the Leafs can address that, I just don't see how they make it through four rounds in a war of attrition versus teams with their fucking hair on fire.
Well, okay. And I heard this comparison from someone comparing the Leafs to the Red Wings of the Babcock era. Because, you know, that team, and I'm especially talking about after they won the two Stanley Cups over a decade ago, that, you know, they were a playoff team every year and they had Datsyuk and they had Zetterberg. Yeah, you look at those teams and they like the Leafs, they're one of these teams that sort of avoids taking penalties, avoids contact, uses right. puck pursuit, all the stuff. Okay. They didn't have any physicality either. And after they went to two Stanley Cup finals, and with those teams, they had, you know, Lidstrom, who was this generation's Bobby Orr, and they had physical guys like Holmstrom and Cronwall. After that, they basically were eliminated in the first round every year. They didn't have any playoff success from 2009, when they went to the Cup final, to the time that Babcock left. So, okay, that is not something to sort of model yourself after, because right. in spite of the fact that they had top-end players, I mean, Zetterberg and Datsyuk and Lidstrom were Hall of Famers, they didn't win anything after 2009. Right. So I think, and I've said over and over again, and it's been proved out over the last 12 or 13 years in the playoffs, that teams that win are multidimensional. They can play multiple types of games. They can play a physical game. Yep. They can play a skill game. They can play a speed game. They can play, you know, they can play any game that's out there. And the Leafs can't. If it gets into a physical contest between Tampa Bay and Boston and the Leafs, I don't think there's unless Austin Matthews is Superman in a 7-game series and scores a ton of goals.
That's still not.
Yeah, you can't. And, you know, that's not going to happen, because against Boston, he's going to get matched up against Bergeron. And against Tampa, he's going to get matched up with Anthony Cirelli. They can neutralize or try to neutralize a lot of the Leafs forwards. And then it comes down to depth. And if you're going into a battle between Tampa Bay and depth is in question, when they have Paul and Killorn and Perry and Maroon and Hagel, and they're probably going to go out at the deadline and get somebody else. Okay, then you need to respond to that. And you may not be able to respond with four or five guys, but if you have one or two guys and they provide some pushback, then the Leafs might have a chance.
So Sheldon Keefe and Kyle Dubas and his crew all have to know this.
Yes, I think they do.
They have to know this. J.A. Scott and community, with the team at 50 contracts in order to add at the trade deadline, someone has to move out.
They're at 49.
What's that?
They're at 49 now.
49. Nick Robertson, he's hurt. Can he be traded?
He can be. I mean, his value. I mean, it's funny that that was mentioned when Pierre LeBrun was interviewed on TSN radio, and he sort of went by the question, but I mean, he's an asset. The thing is that, okay, Nick Robertson is a long-term asset. He's going to be out until training camp next year. He had shoulder surgery because he dislocated his shoulder. I think he still has value, but obviously anybody in a trade, when you're talking about Robertson, they're going to say, well, he's been hurt every year and he hasn't proved that he can play in the NHL. So is he an asset? Yes. Are they going to get full value for him? Probably not, but I think
give him some more time. He's not the kind of player right now the Leafs really need anyway. Like, I mean, a guy like, I'm sure, what do you need more scoring? You know, you need, like, again, it's like, well, you'd like to see some more production from your third and fourth lines, right? But when it comes down to the to crunch time, you need those third and fourth lines to sustain the energy when the guys who are scoring all the goals aren't on, and also kind of do some of the dirty work. You're going to throw a guy like Robertson in there who's still kind of got the yips. Obviously can't stay healthy either. We've really got to get focused between now and the trade deadline in March on augmenting the group the right way. And this, Mike, I know you want to just say something, but this is really good. Spike 11's a terrific contributor. Thanks, Spike. Dubas and Shanny are running this team as if they want a book to be written about them one day, about how they changed the game. They want to rewrite the script, and they won't change in year 7. Interesting. I get the point. It's you know, there's just a generation of hockey fans who, you know, who think anything prior to the Kyle Dubas era was just barbaric hockey, but for the, you know, fighting and the physicality, and that, like, these guys are going to lead the way. Okay, fine, but you still have to develop a team that's going to win a championship, and no one is going to succumb to your style of game just to give you a path forward to win because you're trying to change the game. Everybody's trying to change the game in their own way, change their own particular games in order to suit what is required to win championships. Maple Leafs be damned.
Okay, first of all, just let me finish off the Robertson thing, because the opportunity that was lost was Robertson getting hurt. They were playing him on the second line with Tavares and Marner.
But that's where you wanted him to play, right?
And that's where you had to have him to play, because he can't play a third line or fourth line role. He's a smaller player. He's a skilled player. He's got a great shot. You want him to play in the top six so you can lengthen your lineup up and out and move Yarncroke down to the third line. That he didn't get a long enough look, and we don't know, and we won't know until next year. And by that time, you know, Matthew Nyes may be in the fold. They may have signed somebody else, so he may have lost his opportunity. So that's so that's that. As for Spike's comment, okay, we know that Dubas has a certain mindset when it comes to what he envisions as the type of team that will win. And I've heard many, many persons say that eventually what he is sort of promoting is going to be the type of team that wins, a team that is based on speed and skill. Now, again, Colorado last year is as close to a team that would be a Dubas construction that won. They were, I think, primarily a team with speed and skill, but they had
what made them that much better, Mike?
They had Kadri, they had Lehkonen, they had guys who could muck it up. They had a balance. You know, you had your McKinnons, you had your Landeskogs and your Rantanens, but you also had, you know, you bring in Andrew Cogliano, you bring in Lehkonen at the deadline, you trade for Josh Manson, a physical top four defenseman. They added the pieces that, and Tampa did the same thing a few years ago. They lose to Columbus in the first round, they get swept. What do? They bring in Barkley Goodrow. They bring in they had Gord there, but they bring in a Blake Coleman in a deal from the Devils.
The Leafs lost in 7 games to the Tampa Bay Lightning, and they went and acquired Dennis Malgin.
They kept what they had in terms of adding Giordano, but they didn't re-sign some of the guys like, you know, Colin Blackwell, and they promoted from within. Now, you know, I look at the Leafs right now, and based on something that Pierre LeBrun said a couple days ago on the radio, that he believes that the Leafs are going to be busy, that they're going to be involved. Whether that means they're going to be successful in acquiring 2 or 3 players, he didn't know that. But he thinks that the management of this team knows that it's win or you're probably gone. And
suck for a lot of people, eh?
Right. And you know, now there's going to be a certain level of desperation there. Now, you know, this is the thing. Brendan Shanahan played on those Wings teams that won Stanley Cups, and there was physicality on those teams.
That guy threw him. He fought.
Right. And
he scored. He was that prototypical power forward with size. Again, maybe from an era gone by. And but Mike, you cannot tell me if you couldn't clone a player like that to be a part of the Maple Leafs today. Maybe juice up his speed a little bit. and maybe take away the fighting, but keep that aggression. You would
say, Norm, if you could pluck out Wendell Clark circa 1986 before his back injuries and place him on the left wing with Tavares and Marner, I'm convinced this team could win a Stanley Cup.
So Michael Matthews describing right now.
Yeah. I mean, you know, even a Darcy Tucker. I mean, and Darcy Tucker wasn't a big guy, but he was a fiery guy. He was an injection of emotion into that team that got to a conference final in 2002. You know, you need those players. Now, our JWI in the chat is saying he likes McMahon, who they called up from the mine. One of the things I said in my blog this week is that you've got 6 weeks until the deadline. This is the time that you need to find out within your organization whether you have players that can step up and play. I think now they sent Pontus Holmberg down to the minors because he was
that sick. Fair? Did you like that?
Well, no, it was just a one or two game thing. Temporary. He was sick. They wanted him to get back into the swing of things. They need to find out whether Bobby McMahon, Alex Steeves, Joey Anderson, Pontus Holmberg are capable of playing fourth line roles, because I sure as hell know that Wayne Simmons is not. And it's nothing again. I'd love that if Wayne Simmons was the Wayne Simmons of 10 years ago. He's not. He plays 4.5 minutes in a game. You can't do that. Then you're playing shorthanded. You need somebody who can play physical, energetic hockey, but you need somebody who is capable of playing in the top nine at least, and maybe the top six.
Right. So here are you and I talking about how this team needs to be tougher, and we would like to see the team's toughest player sent to the press box semi-permanently. This, again, emphasizes the point we have been trying to make from start to finish, and I'm sure I'll get some idiots texting me or emailing me or sending me messages, and I'm like, I run the show, so I have to interact with people, right? About how, you know, we're dummies but so they're not, you know, again, just selective in the way they react to what we say. You use the E word, Mike, emotion. That's and that just it sums it up in one word: emotion. This team has no emotion. If it has emotion, it does not demonstrate it very much. Mm-hmm. And Kyle Dubas has no emotion. Brendan Shanahan has no emotion. Sheldon Keefe has emotion, but emotion. He almost seems like, you know, I know he's buddies with Dubas, but there's something about Keefe, and I don't think he fully on board with some of the players that he has to use. But emotion, that's what I'd like to see the Leafs more of, and I don't think.
Okay. I mean, you see Dubas in the press box, and I've been in the press box during games. He's emotional. I mean, he's not an android. I mean, he's a flesh and blood human being, and he gets emotional. But I don't. But I mean, does that really mean anything? I don't know if it does. But
emotion, very important.
Right, but I'm talking about from a general manager. I mean, Ron Curran used to throw things at the wall in St. Louis. It didn't mean a goddamn thing in terms of the Blues winning championships. I mean, I think Dubas is a smart hockey guy, and he realizes what this team needs in terms of additions before the deadline, whether he can do it or not. I mean, he tried it a few years ago with Nick Foligno. He tried, you know, he brought in experienced guys like Joe Thornton. You know, he brought in Bogosian as a physical defenseman. You know, he's tried it in the past. Mm-hmm. It didn't work. Now, I don't know if that means he feels that he got burned and he's not going to try it again. I don't know. All I know is I look at the deadline and I look at what the Leafs wish list should be. And it's probably a physical top six forward, a left winger that can play with Tavares and Marner. And that could be Timo Meier. That could be Tyler Bertuzzi. Or, you know, if you're talking top nine, and you know, there are a number of players that they could go that way. And then a physical defenseman. And if it's Luke Shen, somebody cheap, or, you know, Gavrikov or something. But the thing is like, if you're talking Gavrikov, and this is a guy from Columbus who's a UFA at the end of the year, he's making less than $3 million. They want a first and a third round pick. They want the same amount that they got for David Savard. They're in that, and the Leafs are not going to pay that. So, you know, they're probably going to see if they can find somebody who's cheaper. Now, okay, you know, like, I don't expect William Nylander to play with emotion. I don't expect John Tavares to play with emotion. That's not their game. They have to find players who it is their
How
game.
How are you going
to
make it through 3 months of hockey without emotion, Mike? I mean,
but ridiculous. That's just not their game. You can't expect
you
it.
You are not a video game character hoisting the cup over your head. You're somebody with a damn beard who wants to collapse. And who's put everything into it that you've everything you've ever dreamed of to accomplish because you put all of that emotion and energy over this long protracted journey. It's not here, hand me cup. It's overhead. It's not gonna be like that.
Right, but you can't expect players to go outside of their comfort zone. And William Nylander is not an emotional player. But you know,
maybe we don't know who these guys really are until they get the opportunity to get past
I think we do know who they are. They're just not, you know, does he care? Of course he does. I think he wants to win.
100%. And that's not the thing. We love, look, again, this is not disparaging Nylander or Tavares.
He's had a great year.
And lighting a fire under their asses and setting their hair on fire.
You know, no.
Setting their hair on fire and playing more defensively responsibly like you did before. That's the thing.
The Florida game was a perfect example. You had Nick Cousins, former Sault Ste. Marie Greyhound, cross-checking Matthews in the ribs, and then Matthews tripping him. And who came to Matthews' rescue? Michael Bunting. It's like, and that's what I'm saying. It's like, can it be Michael Bunting every single time sticking up? Because you don't want Austin Matthews getting into a fight. You don't want him breaking his wrist or hurting his wrist, punching somebody. So, you know, you have to have somebody who provides some pushback. And in that game, Wayne Simmons was not on the bench. He was up in the press box. So Wayne Simmons, you know, maybe if he's a fourth liner, okay, you throw him out there and he goes after somebody and that's your pushback. I think they need somebody who can play more minutes and somebody who can be physical, and if not fighting, because we know fighting is going by the way of the dodo bird, but if you're talking about pushing back and hitting somebody else and start, you know, you had Florida who had Tkachuk and Lomborg and Bennett and Radko, Confederate General Gudas out there. I mean, that was a team that almost had too much push, too much size and sandpaper, not enough skill. But the Leafs will have to contend with that against Boston, Marchand, and Eno, and I mean, you, I could run out of breath talking about how many players on the Bruins provide that. And Tampa is the same thing. And the Leafs, it's a couple names, and that's about it.
We'll wrap up here. I gotta get going. I'd like to see Austin Matthews and the other guys play with a little more "fuck you" in their game. It's getting to that point. I've won all my personal trophies. I've had enough of this bullshit, right? This, the smiles and the stand arounds and the, you know, the shitty little posturing, that's going to get you again. It's going to get you nowhere, Mike. It's going to get you nowhere. In the moment, the Leafs are, you know, one of the top teams in the league. That's great to be one of the top teams in the league. How about being the best team, hoisting a Stanley Cup after a long playoff journey, finally, right? And the way the team is constructed right now, they're hovering. But you cannot look at this team the way it is right now and go, bonafide, 100%. Easy, chalk it up. Just the talent level is that much higher than everyone else. Even with Matthews, Nylander, Marner, Tavares, it's not. So it needs more. It needs that other component, that physical component, that component of pedigree and pushback. And it, between now and the trade deadline, and obviously it's a bit of audition with some of the younger guys, which doesn't, if those guys show that they can play, and Dubas does dick all at the trade deadline, that doesn't offer me any kind of reassurance, Mike. But, you know, I don't, between now and the trade deadline, how the hell does he overhaul the team to a degree where we can all say, this is finally the group we all believe can go all the way. I think the transformation has to come from within first. And I mean, that'll take a miracle. Last word to you.
Well, I think the key word is not overhaul, it's augment.
Yeah.
You can't overhaul a roster in season.
Components of it, possibly, but.
Yeah, but that's why I said you need a player or a couple players who inspire most of the rest of the team to to up their level and play physically, or to not have as much fear of sticking their neck out. Because honestly, who wants to be a player on this team right now that if you do something that there is team toughness. And I think guys like Giordano and guys like Bunting will back their players. And a lot of players on this team will back their teammates. I'm not saying that they don't, but I'm saying there's something subconscious out there. If you're not exactly a physical team and you go out and do something and respond to somebody, and there's going to be a response from that team because they'll push back, whether you want the players who are not used to playing that type of game to play that game. So we will see before March the 3rd what Kyle Dubas does to augment this roster.
How do the Leafs beat Boston in a 7-game series? How do they beat Tampa? And don't give me the bullshit they went 7 games. They had a chance to beat both of those teams in 6. They didn't. It was over. It was over after that, right? And that just dates back. You were up 3-1. Don't tell me you went 7 games with the Habs. You had a chance to win it in 5 and you didn't. It was over, right? So one game, one period is the only thing miles away. The Leafs aren't that, I mean, they're close to getting there, but that difference, that one game, that one period, could have been a full season if you put it into full perspective in terms of maturation and developing into a team that really can go the distance. So that's where we kind of contradict ourselves. We feel like they're right about there, but then we're talking about things that need to change that may take some time and some maturation and some seasoning to fully show the fruits of the labor that's put into augmenting the roster.
The only thing you can point to right now, and this will be the last word for me, their goaltending going into this stretch and into the playoffs is significantly better this year than it was last year. Defensively, I don't know, because Muzzin's not going to be there. Forward wise, I think they're about the same, but goaltending wise, that could be the difference between the one goal in Game 7 between Tampa and Toronto. We don't know, but I think you're going to have to, I think, improve this team, because Tampa's going to improve and Boston's going to improve. You're going to have to improve before the deadline if you think you have a chance to beat any of those teams.
Jason M., the Leafs should stop hanging out with Biebs and Taylor Swift for starters. Let's not put it on the Biebs or Taylor Swift. But Spike 11 again, Norm, you can't teach killer instinct. You can't teach it, but it can be developed. These guys have to, from within, it's like, okay, we have this opportunity again. What's it going to take? And that's, Mike, the point that I'm trying to make is that know these guys, but do we really know them? Who are William Nylander and John Tavares and Austin Matthews and Mitch Marner and Morgan Riley into the second round of a playoff series, having overcome a massive hurdle for themselves and the organization and the fan base with blood, sweat, and tears? Then what develops? Who do these guys become then? We really don't know who they are until they're put in a position where they can develop that in killer instinct, and from there all bets could be off. But from here to there, man, it just seems like it's miles away. OG's conference, man, 70 plus people watching right now on a Friday morning. Thank you very much. All you dudes need to go back to work, except for Michael Matthew. He's on a boat. He's a retiree.
I'm on a boat.
Yeah, he's on a boat. Mike's in his den, and I'm about to take a trip with the family. That should be fun. Subscribe to the channel, like the content, listen to us on the favorite podcast platform of your choice. Mike and I will probably try to ramp up content here as we get towards the trade deadline. And rest assured, man, we support these Maple Leafs. We just want to see them do even better than all the betterness that they're providing for us right now. So for Mike, I'm Norm. Talk to you guys soon.